We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shotgun, second and goal at the three, the snap, the pass, it is caught by Diggs, gets a few blocks, and he goes into the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. What a well-executed play that was. 3 yards, Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs for the Buffalo touchdown, the first touchdown of the game.
It was just one of those games where we kind of had to figure it out. We had a little bit of a win problem and then just trying to figure out what they're in and what they're doing and trying to get some completions. You know, as a quarterback, I always say I can't imagine how hard it is. So as a receiver, you're just trying to be there for them, make the plays for them, give them that confidence that you can chuck it around and everybody's just doing their job.
Lamar Jackson back to throw, guns it into the end zone, intercepted. 2 yards deep in the end zone, intercepted by Taron Johnson, and he brings it out, and he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40, the 30, gets a block at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception, touchdown Buffalo!
Coaches did a great job at halftime making adjustments, and we needed to get into a rhythm after half, and we did that. I thought that was a big drive for us. They had scored before half, gotten three. So, you know, if we don't score, they get the ball back. I'm saying after half, they have a chance to double dip. And so I think it was 3-3 at that point, so that was a big drive for us. Great job by our offense.
We're super excited for the chance to go and get to play this game next week. And it's a fun one to be a part of. Obviously, there's some things we can clean up. At the end of the day, it's the playoffs. You win or you go home, and our team found a way. Our defense stepped up. Taron Johnson, I mean, that play just changed the game. Unbelievable. As crazy as it sounds, we've got to turn our focus towards the Browns or the Chiefs for next week, and that's what we're going to do.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
The Bills make me want to shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now.
Hey, we're back again. Hi. Yeah, that's what happens when you keep winning. We keep having extra point shows. That's pretty cool, right? How this works. It's another Monday. It's another extra point show. It's another Buffalo Bills game next week. I mean, really, like, next weekend is one of the biggest weekends in Buffalo sports history. It's pretty amazing. Bills did it again, folks. They just keep winning. Their 15th win of the season, and it came on the biggest of stages so far. Beating the Baltimore Ravens 17-3, an incredible atmosphere, an incredible night, Saturday night, Bills Stadium. For the 6,700 who were there, who sounded like, not 67,000, like 67 million. I mean, I'm not kidding. It was so loud. It was great. It was great to be a part of that. You brought it strong. If you went to that game, you're listening right now, incredible. Great job. And even if you didn't, incredible. Great job, because you were channeling the energy to those people who were in that stadium. That's how incredible it was. I mean, you know, I don't get a chance. I'm working and listening to Murph in my ear, so I'm not listening to Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth like a lot of you are at the time. But I was told that, you know, Michaels kept saying how loud it was, and so was Collinsworth, during that sequence down at the goal line where the Ravens were called for false starts, had to go to a silent count. So I went back and, you know, watched that and listened to them, and they were giving complete proper credit to the fans. It was an amazing atmosphere, an amazing night. Absolutely just blown away by what it sounded like in that stadium again for 2 weeks in a row with 6,700 people. And here we are. The Buffalo Bills are in the AFC Championship game. So, yeah, this is not something we're used to. This is a team that has made the playoffs in three of the last 4 years, but to get to this point hasn't happened in 27 seasons. 1993. And ironically, or coincidentally, a lot of times those words I mix up. Either way, the last time they did it was against the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me read you some of the names that started in that game. Bills, Chiefs, 1993. Last time the two teams, last time the Bills played in the AFC title game, and they went against the Chiefs that game. Starting quarterbacks, Jim Kelly, of course, for the Bills, and Joe Montana for the Kansas City Chiefs. Derek Thomas, the late, great Derek Thomas, starting for the Chiefs on defense. And, of course, for the Bills, loaded with Hall of Famers, including Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed and Bruce Smith. An amazing group that was on their final run and final year of Super Bowl appearances. 27 years later. Here we are again. It's great to be with you today, the Extra Point Show. My name is Sal Capaccio. We do it every Monday here during football season, and it is still football season. I'll be back next Monday regardless, no matter what. And let's hope I'm on even further on after next Monday. Still talking into February. Let's hope that's the case. We'll get into more of that a little bit later in the program, which, by the way, the Extra Point Show is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you in part by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Also by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. And we're going to get into everything today. Saturday's game, the matchup. You know the way the phone lines work here, right? I know that it's a holiday for a lot of you. You're not working. So however you're, you know, spending your day off with your family or other people or, you know, whatever's going on, I appreciate you listening right now, but we are taking phone calls and we always do on this show. 803-0550, 888-552-550. You get in, you call, I hear from you. Questions, comments, opinions on what's happened, on the game coming up, whatever it is, it's all on the table for you here on the Extra Point Show today, as it always is. So while you load up the phone lines, though, I want to start with this. There's an old saying in sports, a cliche. To be the best, you have to beat the best. That's how it goes. And that's a nice cliche, and we all understand what it means. But it's not always true. Every year in almost every sport, there are upsets in the playoffs and postseason tournaments. The top seed doesn't get to the Super Bowl every year. The President's Trophy winner in hockey doesn't win the Stanley Cup every year. Heck, we even saw a 16 seed beat a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. And when those upsets happen, it paves the way for other good teams to have a much different path and not have to face and beat the best. I mean, come on, how many times have you watched the NCAA tournament, your team wins, and then you're like, oh yeah, we're not facing the top seed or the better seed because they got upset. You don't always have to beat the best to be the best. And even if you think in terms of beating the reigning champion, oftentimes that team is not nearly the same as they were the year before. But this year in the NFL, it is proving true, especially in the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs were the best team in football last year. Now, they weren't the number one seed headed into the playoffs, but it was clear they were the best team by the end of the season. And they proved it with a Super Bowl championship. Then they rolled into this year as the favorite to repeat. And why not? They have Patrick Mahomes, 1 year removed from his MVP season and already on track to break a lot of NFL career passing records. I mean, he's already broken a bunch of them at his young age anyway. They have a future Hall of Fame coach in Andy Reid, who's a master game planner and play caller. And then all they did was go out and lose one meaningful regular season game this season. They did lose a second one when it didn't matter at the end of the season. They're resting a lot of players. Maybe there's a debate whether or not they've been the best overall team in the league this season. I think they have been. But there's no debate when it comes to the AFC. They have been. But then there's the Buffalo Bills. From the very first week, we saw this team was going to be good, right? I mean, heck, I picked them to go to this game and play the Chiefs. I picked Bills Chiefs AFC Championship. I think a lot of people knew the Bills were going to be good. And sure, they opened up with the hapless New York Jets that first weekend. But they came out of the gate with their foot on the gas pedal and they never took it off, regardless of opponent. And after a 4-0 start, there was a bit of a lull in October, including two straight losses. Both games that had been rescheduled due to COVID, and against the two teams who played in the AFC Championship game last year, the Titans and Chiefs. Now, the Bills didn't play particularly well in either contest, but of course give their opponents credit, especially in the Chiefs game. Buffalo came in with a game plan to stop Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, and it worked for the most part. Hill was held to only 3 catches for 20 yards. They did a great job on him. Mahomes was very efficient, but he didn't kill the Bills throwing the football. He finished 21 of 26 for 225 yards and a pair of TDs. But eventually he did hit a crucial third down late in the game to seal it. He's Patrick Mahomes. He's really good. The problem for the Bills, though, in that game was stopping the run, as we all remember. They loaded up on containing the Chiefs' passing game, but Kansas City had an answer and ran for a whopping 245 yards. See, that's what great teams do. They can beat you in a number of ways. All that said, it was still a one-score game late in the fourth quarter until Kansas City added a field goal to go up 9 points. And that's how the game ended, 26-17. The Bills were in front in the AFC East all season. They were the number 3 seed in the conference most of the year, behind Pittsburgh. But we saw how they beat them, and the Steelers actually proved to be paper tigers. The Bills were the second best team in the AFC this season. There's no question about that. The Chiefs have been and should be still considered the best team. So here they are, the two best teams in the conference, the way it should be, in sports. Head-to-head for the right to go to the Super Bowl. To be the best, you've got to beat the best. This year, it's going to be true for the Buffalo Bills. They have a chance to beat the best and are 60 minutes of football away from having at least a chance to be the best. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 on the Extra Point Show on WGR. How are you feeling today, Bills fans, Bills Mafia? How are we feeling about the game on Saturday last week? How are we feeling about the game this coming Sunday, 6:40 p.m. Eastern Time, Arrowhead Stadium, Bills and Chiefs? It's going to be a really fun week. The story this week is going to be Patrick Mahomes' health. There's going to be a lot of social media doctors out there. There's going to be a lot of people thinking they know and trying to diagnose and trying to tell you what rules are what. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to give you some advice. Don't try and play doctor. Just read what the actual reports are from the team as far as his practice participation and where he is. Whether you believe something happened that didn't, or they're using terminology that isn't true or is true or whatever, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is the Chiefs saying he practiced today or he didn't practice today. Is he in concussion protocol? Is he not in concussion protocol? And also, as a reminder to everyone this week, just so you know, because I'm going to get questions on this online. I know I am. So I want to tell you, all of you, so you can tell your friends and your family when they ask you. Players are still allowed to practice if they're in concussion protocol. So if you see Patrick Mahomes on Wednesday or Thursday's practice participation report and it says limited participant concussion, he's allowed to. He can even be a full participant in practice. It's really about stages and about contact and hitting and things like that. So just to save you the question and to save you answers from people asking you, yes, players can still practice while in concussion protocol. And I would expect maybe even that to happen all week, because a lot of times they don't even get even cleared until later in the week because they have to go through the stages and it takes that much time. So let's just clear that up right now as we go forward. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. It's all on the table today on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian in Boca Raton, Florida. Hi, Brian. Go ahead. You're going to start us off.
Hey, good morning, Taylor. Just want to say go Bills, first and foremost. What an awesome year this has been. I just wanted to kind of talk about, you know, obviously the game coming up there next Sunday and the defensive scheme that their defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, runs. He, I thought, brought a 4-3 scheme to Kansas City. What it kind of looks like they're playing now is man-to-man. I think that bodes really, really well for Josh Allen and the offense. I mean, listen, Saturday night when Allen was going, and it's kind of been all year, he's picked off that man-to-man defense. I really believe if the Kansas City defense is going to play a man-to-man defense against Josh Allen and the Bills offense, we will come out of Kansas City with the win, and we will be going Super Bowl 55. I just wanted to get your take on there. But, man, I tell you, I still feel like this is an underestimated team. Why not go all the way? I want to play the best. I want to play Mahomes, by the way. I want Brady in Tampa, and I want that Super Bowl win.
All right, man, I think we all want a lot of that. Maybe not the Brady part for a lot of people. Here's the thing, Brian. Great call on, you know, Spagnuolo and what he's done there. He's done a really good job with that defense. I think people underestimate how good that Kansas City defense has been, actually, you know, in his time, especially like midway through last year, they kind of turned it on. They've been good this year. They haven't been great and world beaters, but they've been good. And you don't need a great, great defense when you have a great, great offense like they have. The way they played the Bills the first time was they basically just made the Bills have to work for everything. We saw that happen a couple of times. I referenced the Titans game. I referenced the Chiefs game in October. And the Bills did not have John Brown in the Titans game. And in the Chiefs game, I'm telling you right now, he could not move. I remember specifically texting Bulldog on the postgame show to say, hey, listen, because, you know, those guys, Schopen Bulldog, they're not at the game now with the situation with COVID and all that. So I texted Bulldog and I said, hey, just so you know, I could tell John Brown was clearly not himself. He couldn't get off the line. And that really hurt the Bills' passing game, of course. After that, they started figuring out even how to win without John Brown at 100% or even on the field. And then you insert him back in the lineup, and now Cole Beasley's been banged up. I get that. But the Bills, they've figured it out in a lot of ways. And if they do want to play man-to-man, I agree with you. I think they get torched because that's what Josh Allen's done all year. But I don't know. We'll see. Andy Reid's a really good coach. Steve Spagnuolo, he's done a very good job. They're going to have a good game plan against the Bills. That's why they are the champs. That's why they are the best. Not just because they have great players. Tom in North Tonawanda. Hi, Tom. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing? Happy Monday.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so, you know, first I want to say I absolutely think Jerry Hughes was the best player on the field. But there were a few guys out there that were just huge. I thought Harrison Phillips and Trent Murphy coming on for two guys that were inactive early in the year were just – they were fantastic. I mean, Harrison Phillips just held up that center of the line, finally getting what we've been hoping from him all year. And I thought his game was on, especially after Vernon Butler went out.
Yeah, you know, they say it takes you over a year to, you know, come back from the injury. And I think that we saw signs that he wasn't fully recovered early in the year. And I'm not saying he completely is now, but I think he's gotten better as the season's gone on. Harrison Phillips, that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just saw what he did today. And then just that entire discipline and that defensive line of not going after Jackson and keeping him in the pocket and playing to contain. It was so easy because they were beating their blocks and they still held him in there. And it was really nice to see. And Tremaine Edmonds, too, is somebody else that struggled early in the year. You could just really see where he was in the middle of the field and his size and his range was.
Hey, Tom, how about Taron Johnson? He lost his starting job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He lost his starting job after 5 weeks. He did not start against the Chiefs. Cam Lewis did. Cam Lewis gets hurt in that game. And then Taron Johnson takes back over and he never looks back. And he's been a different player since.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's really nice transformation to see on the defense from all those guys coming back from where they were and where it is now. And it's going to be fun. I'm ready for the ride to go on for another 3 weeks.
Yeah. Let's hope so, buddy. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Right.
You know, Taron Johnson, that play. Can we just talk about that play for a moment? Can we play? I think the audio of Murph's call. I want to play this here. In case you haven't heard it, I want to play Murph's audio of that call because it will go down in Buffalo sports lore, this particular call. And I got to tell you, I've said this before. It sounds weird. It sounds cheesy. I don't know how to describe it, but this is true. I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that gets, you know, romanticizes like weird, I don't know, kinds of things like this. When I say, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but I don't normally do this. But it is true. I'm going to tell you this. I felt like as he's running that I and everything I saw was going in slow motion. And I've said this on the air a few times since then. It took Taron Johnson, I don't know what, 12, 13 seconds to run as far as he did, whatever it was. It seemed like it took 12 or 13 minutes because to me, everything was just happening and I could see it. I could see him running. I could see the blocks. I could see the sideline going crazy. I could see the fans and I could hear Murph. And it was just an amazing moment to be in that stadium, of course. But if you're a Bills fan, here's Taron Johnson, the pick six.
Lamar Jackson back to throw. Guns it into the end zone. Intercepted. 2 yards deep in the end zone. Intercepted by Taron Johnson. And he brings it out. And he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40. The 30 gets a block at the 20. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception. Touchdown, Buffalo!
By the way, I agree with Murph. It was 102 yards. They only gave him 101, so I guess it's a little debatable there, but I thought he was maybe a yard and a half or 2 yards in the end zone, but either way, we're not going to quibble about that. He tied the record with a 101-yard interception return, playoff record in the NFL, but you know, give credit to spotter Mark Murphy, John's son, for identifying Taron Johnson right away so that Murph knew exactly who it was on the interception, and Murph with a great call there and one that's going to go down forever in Buffalo sports. One of the greatest plays in Buffalo sports history. I think it's a short list. You could think of a bunch of them, but it really is greatest, like greatest play for meaningful impact at the time. Play, not moment, like play. I was not alive for the hit heard around the world. Mike Stratton against Keith Lincoln, 64 AFL title game. That is legendary. I was alive. I was at Carlton Bailey's pick six against the Denver Broncos. The Bills win 10-7. That play put the Bills in the Super Bowl, essentially. That may be the biggest play in Bills history. But Taron Johnson very well could have taken that reign with that pick six. Drury with 7.7 seconds left against the Rangers. I think that's up there. Jason Pominville overtime against the Senators. I think that's up there. I mean, there are plays in Buffalo sports history that have really mattered. Pretty incredible. David in Allegheny, let's wrap you up this half hour with this call. What's going on, David?
Hey, Sal, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, man.
Great. Yeah, I'm just leaving Allegheny. And normally in January, you can plan a trip and not worry about Bills football. And when we get away, we try to get away from technology, put the phones away, but we wanted to watch this game. We had to watch this game. I brought a TV. I went and got the best antenna you can get, hoping to get a signal. Couldn't get a signal. Walked around the campsite. 10 minutes before the game, we found one guy in Allegheny who was watching the game on a TV. Bills fans, very welcoming. We ended up watching the game, but it was funny because the radio broadcast, a couple campsites over, they had the radio broadcast, and it was about seven plays ahead or something like that. And so we could hear him cheering. We didn't know what was going on, though, but it was amazing because it seems like every drive, offensive and defense, they were cheering. So it's like we kind of knew the future in a way. And that pick six, man, I'll tell you, one guy came over with teasing us. He goes, "We're like, what happened?" He goes, "Well, we held him to a field goal." Sure, pick six, that was the game changer.
He knew it, right? He knew it? He said that on purpose so you didn't know?
Yeah, he said it on purpose. So
that's amazing.
So when it happened, man, it was absolutely incredible. The place exploded, man. Usually it's quiet. The Park Rangers say, "Hey, you know, quiet down." It wasn't a park ranger in sight. Everybody was just cheering for the Bills.
So here's the thing, David. So it's funny is, you know, my wife's at home watching the game. I'm at the game, obviously, but she's at home watching it, and she's in the same boat. Our TV is on a delay on the cable system the way we have it. So she tells me she knows when big things are going to happen because the neighborhood goes wild.
Absolutely.
It's so funny, right? So, I mean, you know, and then you got to perk up, you got to peek up and, you know, watch what's going on. So that's cool. I'm glad you were able to enjoy it. I'm in the same boat every year. Professionally, I always say I got to wait till after the Bills season for any vacations. I always like to go away right after the season just to kind of, you know, decompress a little bit. But this year we had to plan that in February, basically.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right, Dave. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your call.
Take care. Go Bells.
All right. Thank you. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. Got a lot to get to today. Keep lighting up the phone lines. Really, really love talking to people on days like today. Special moments in Buffalo sports history, and this week is going to be one of them. The whole week's going to be special. We got all your coverage. AFC Championship, Bills at Chiefs Sunday, and we're talking about it today on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Let's go get another one next week. Win on three, 1, 2, 3. Win!
Pretty sure that was Josh Allen at the end, right? Pretty sure. That's great. I love the fact. You know what it stands out to me there? Josh Allen stands up in front of the team, and he recognizes the defense right away. Great job, defense. The offense was okay. They were fine. They were efficient in their own right, but they only scored 10 points. And it was a struggle throughout a lot of the day. And that was a good football team they played. He's right. I mean, it's not easy. I've said this many times over the last several weeks. It's not easy, and it's not supposed to be. It's hard to win. It's hard to win a championship. It's hard to win in the playoffs. These are good teams. They're well coached. The Bills played two of the best coached teams in the league the last couple of weeks. I thought the Colts were extremely well coached with Frank Reich. And John Harbaugh is a great coach. And these guys aren't perfect. They make mistakes, yes, but they played two really well coached teams. And oh, by the way, here comes Andy Reid. I mean, come on. But the Bills have a great coaching staff themselves. And that's one of the big reasons why I believe that the Bills are going to be in this, not just because of the talent, and Josh Allen, and the players they have, but the coaching staff, the people they have running the organization. This run is not over this year, regardless of what happens Sunday. Let's hope it continues on this week. You never know when you're going to get back or never get back. But they're going to be here for a while. This is not something that's just going to go away. They're going to be in this mix. And that's a big reason why. Sean McDermott and his staff have done a great job. That staff includes Brian Daboll, by the way. And I got to tell you, Brian Daboll, to me, I'm kind of stunned that the LA Chargers moved on their head coach overnight. In case you didn't see it, the Chargers have hired or are about to hire Brandon Staley as their next head coach. That is not Brian Daboll, who, by the way, almost everybody in the industry, whether you're local or national, thought Brian Daboll was getting that job. I've talked to many people who said, yeah, Brian Daboll's going to be the next Chargers coach. Dan Orlovsky went on ESPN and said he's going to be the next Chargers coach. Ian Rappaport, I think it was, maybe Schefter, somebody reported they're zeroing in on Brian Daboll. Suddenly, Brandon Staley comes in, has an interview, and gets the job. Now, a lot of things could have happened here. It very well could have been that they said, hey, let's, as long as we can't hire Brian Daboll yet anyway, he's got to play, let's interview a couple more people. They bring Brandon Staley, and the owner goes, oh my God, this guy's great, I love him, I don't want to wait, just hire him. I think that could have very well happened. I think that's what did happen here. They may have just said, we can't wait for Brian Daboll to have to assemble a staff if he continues to win. Where's he going to get guys? I mean, these are all things at play. I'm not sure how it went down, what happened. Of course, it's possible Brian Daboll even, you know, maybe they thought that he wasn't, you know, so maybe he gave an indication that he wasn't going to take the job. I don't think that's the case, but it sounded like this was the Chargers' call, and to me it sounded like this was the owner's call, but I'm stunned. And of course, that means the Bills now have a great chance to keep Brian Daboll, and that's great for Bills fans, selfishly. I feel bad for him. He wants a head coaching job, I'm sure, and I think he deserves one. There are two jobs left, the Eagles and the Texans. And the Texans, they reportedly are high on Leslie Frazier, who they interviewed this past weekend. I don't think Daboll has actually interviewed with the Eagles. I got to look. And they can't interview him this week. But he was reportedly on their list, but I don't think he's actually been interviewed yet. I have to go and look. Maybe we can find that somewhere. Brayton, if you find that, let me know. I don't think he's been interviewed by them. And they can't interview him this week. And through Sunday, assistants on staffs can't interview that are still playing, but then they can, even if they win, they get 1 week to do it before the actual week leading up to the Super Bowl. It's a tricky thing to do for teams. I get it. It shuts guys out who are deserving, though, the more they win, which is just the kind of ironic part about it. So we'll see where it goes. Jim in Tonawanda. Hi, Jim. You're on WGR. Hey, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, bud.
Hey, I just wanted to pose a question because it's something I see every week, and it just seems like the norm at this point. And first and foremost, thanks for the shows you guys put on. I drive trucks, and I just actually cleared through Cleveland, and it gives me some good stuff to listen to. But it seems like you come to the coin toss every game now, and if you win, you defer automatically. And I was watching the Browns and the Chiefs game, and the Browns deferred to the second half, and and the first thing in my mind is, why not take the ball, set the narrative, you know, get Nick Chubb running, and, you know, go down the field, and if you score and you put a touchdown, you're playing ahead of the game instead of giving the ball to Patrick Mahomes and come straight down the field and score the touchdown, and you know, all of a sudden you're already behind. And is it something you take a look at the game coming up this week, too?
Well, here, a couple things that I'll tell you why they don't do that. I'll tell you why most teams don't do that, and I understand. Because if you defer, you have a chance to what they call double dip. You're banking on maybe getting the ball for the last possession of the first half and scoring and then doing it again to start the second half. And I know Sean McDermott's even talked about that. It's double dipping. You're going to play the clock knowing that you have a chance to score at the end of the first half. The Patriots are famous for this. And then you score and then you get the ball to start the second half. And, you know, that's by the way, what the Bills did against the Colts. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's why you do it. And
you don't want to be behind.
But here's the thing. There's no guarantee you're going to, when you say, like, why don't you do it that way? Well, you're assuming you're going to score or the other team's not. I get it. You might want to do that. Somebody did actually take the ball recently, and I can't remember who it was, when most teams do defer. It was one of these playoff games. I can't remember. But, you know, you can't always assume either. And I get it. I think there's a couple schools of thought. I'm just giving you, Jim, I'm giving you the thought process of what coaches usually are, which is, sure. Hey, we're going to start on defense and stop them. We're going to get the last possession of the first half, and then we're going to score twice.
No, absolutely. I definitely understand. My only thought with it is, you know, if you, especially if you have somebody like Nick Chubb in the backfield,
yep.
You know, you can burn 7 minutes off the clock, go down and
100%. I get it. But what if you get stopped and go 3 and out? Now all of a sudden you're giving them the ball and they're going to get it in the second half. So I do think it's a double-edged sword. I totally understand where you're coming from. I'm not dismissing it. I just want to give you the perspective of why teams normally do it the other way.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you taking the call and thanks for what you guys do.
Yeah, no problem. I will tell you, the thing that was surprising to me in the game when it comes to coin toss and deferring and taking the ball and all that, when you go back to Saturday's game against the Bills and the Ravens. So the Bills win the toss. They defer. That means the Ravens are going to receive. They receive the ball. That means the Bills choose which way they want to go in the first quarter, and then the teams flip in the second quarter. I learned, and I didn't know this, a lot of you didn't know that you don't automatically switch sides every quarter. There's actually another decision to be made at halftime. What I mean is, so in the second half, now the Bills, because they deferred, they have their choice. So the Bills took the ball in the second half. Now the Ravens have the choice. Which way do you want to kick? It doesn't have to be opposite of second quarter. And I really thought the Ravens were going to make the Bills go against the wind with their opening possession of the third quarter. Hey, we got to give them the ball. Let's make sure they can't come down the field and score. Well, and then, you know, we'll get the ball and let's try and get up here in this game. It's a tie game. The Ravens chose not to do that. I understand why. They chose not to do that because they wanted the wind in the fourth quarter. So they give the Bills the win in the third quarter. But Josh Allen goes 66 yards, 4 of 6 passing. They score a touchdown. Ravens, to their credit, go against the wind, go another 66 yards the other way, but then it results in the pick six. In the third quarter, wind or no wind, doesn't matter here. There were two drives. That's it. Two drives in the entire third quarter. Bills go 66 yards and score a touchdown. Ravens go 66 yards and Bills score another touchdown. Wild. I didn't know that a lot of you didn't know that you get a choice in the second half if you don't receive which way you want to go. It's not automatic to flip. So if you didn't know that, glad to inform you because some people told me that online and they didn't know when I explained it. Let's go to Dave in Rochester. Hi, Dave. You're on WGR.
Hey, go Bills. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, buddy.
Hey, so I just something I haven't heard talked about a lot with Mahomes' injury. When they slow down that, you know, that tackle, the only thing I really see is that his chin gets brought down to his chest. And, you know, no concussion, you know, choking him out doesn't make any sense. It happened instantaneously. So the thing that, you know, I think that I haven't heard is a spine injury called neuropraxia. It's essentially where your spinal cord gets pinched and then you can't, you know, you can't walk. You can't move your arms very well for a few minutes. It's something I just haven't heard talked about, and I think it's a real possibility with him. And what is concerning is that one of the things that can lead to that is cervical stenosis of your spine. And honestly, people in the NFL have retired for less. I just thought I'd bring it up because I hear a lot of, you know, people postulating about what happened, but that's what I saw because of the injury with
hypertension. Dave, you're using a lot of big medical terms that I have no idea about. Are you in the medical field?
I am.
Okay, I figured that because you're saying things that I have no idea about, and I'm not even going to attempt to, you know, either, you know, say yes or no to anything you're saying. So I appreciate the info, but as you can obviously know and respect, I don't know, and I don't want to expand on that because I don't know.
All I'm saying, yeah, is that it could be something with his spine, and it could be concerning. Is all I'm saying because I didn't see anything else that makes sense.
I get it. Thank you for the info, though. I had no idea. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. That. I mean, I don't know. And again, I want to caution anybody for trying to play doctor. But if you're a real doctor and you see something, I guess that you have a little more license to do that when you think about what happened to Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be the story all week. By the way, it wasn't just that. It was his toe. He got hurt. He injured his toe. He was clearly limping. So I'm interested in seeing what Patrick Mahomes' week looks like here for the Kansas City Chiefs. Sue in Amherst. Hi, Sue.
Hey, Sal.
How are you?
I'm awesome. What a to be a Bills fan.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I just wondered what you thought about them not calling a designed run play until 8 minutes into the second half. It sort of seemed like that's when things opened up for the offense. I know we're a throwing team, but it seems like we need to run a little. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I a couple things, and I would tell you this, Sue. I doubt they even wanted to call that one. The only reason they did was because they were backed up in their own end zone, you know what I mean, and going against the wind. So maybe that's the only reason. I hear where you're coming from, but, you know, look, this team has won 15 games, 14 going into the game, and has done it mostly just throwing the football. And I think one of the reasons they did that in this game was, Sue, they spread the field to in order to make sure that the Ravens couldn't get, you know, got a lot of guys in the box, if you will, in blitz. And I think they wanted to make sure that they kept those guys out of the box, throw the football as much as they can, keep them on their heels, and then maybe that would open up the running game. And let's not discount that too, Sue. Maybe the reason why they had a little more success later was because they did do it that way and the Ravens knew. I agree. I'm surprised. But we saw a game earlier this year where Brian Daboll literally admitted he did not want to run one play in the first half. He wanted to throw every play. I think it was the Jets, but they actually wound up running. So this is just who they are, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call, Sal.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think anybody watching the game's like, hey, by the way, I think one of Josh Allen's runs was designed. So when you say that, but I know what you mean, Sue. You mean a handoff. They didn't hand off until there was like 3 minutes left in the first half. And that was Devin Singletary. And, you know, there's no Zach Moss. It's only Devin Singletary. And this week could be very different. That was a team, a Ravens team that really likes to blitz. And I think the Bills wanted to spread him out, put him in man-to-man coverage, not allow him to blitz, not have as many guys in the box, and, you know, go at him that way. But this is who the Bills are. It's who they've been all year. They don't like to run the ball that much. They like to throw. So we'll see what they do, though. Every week's a different game plan. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. WGR Sports Radio 550's Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Monday.
That play was huge. Touchdown, Taren. He does what he knows how to do is get the ball in his hands and then go find the end zone. And so we know he has a lot of speed, so we try to do our best to set him up so he can go score. And that's Taren, man. He's a great player. He's been studying his tape, and it shows. He makes those big plays in big games like this, and this is what we need. We always talk about throughout the week, scoring on defense, getting our hands on football, causing turnovers, trying to flip the field for our offense so they can have a short field. So, you know, for him to not only cause the turnover and score, man, that's huge. That was a big momentum shift that we needed. That's something that you got to have at your house.
Jerry Hughes on Taren Johnson. That pick six again, man. That's great film study by Taren. Jerry pointed out the Bills are a very well-coached team, but their players are very smart and they're very professional. They go about it and, you know, the right way, trying to get every advantage they can and be as prepared as they can, and Taren certainly was. Let's go to Dick in Hamburg. What's going on, Dick?
Hey, Sal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a couple things. It's funny. I've been watching the Bills since 1960. We've had season tickets since 1962. And I did not know that all those options were available related to the coin toss.
Well, here I'm glad that I could inform you, but here's the thing. They changed the rules not too many years ago, Dick. I mean, I go back. You used to not even be able to defer. It was either you take the ball or you kick. And if you kick, that means you kick twice, right? But they went to the college style, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it was, where they said, oh, you can defer. But if you defer, then it's your choice in the second half. Then the other team chooses which way they want to go.
I never knew that. Just one more thing. You mentioned that how you watch the interception, the pick six in slow motion. I was there at the stadium for the hit heard around the world, and talk about slow motion. Keith Lincoln is coming from the and across the field from the visitor's side comes Mike Stratton. And this whole thing happened right in front of me. And you talk about slow motion. You could just see it. You could just see it happening. You know, something you will never forget. I've got one more question, Sal. Tremaine Edmonds had one of the best games of his career this past weekend, calling defensive play calls. How do they get the play calls into him? How does Frazier get the play calls into him?
Just like a quarterback, he has a green dot on his helmet and he has an earpiece in his helmet. There's an audio exchange between Leslie Frazier and Tremaine Edmonds.
Okay, see?
Only one guy can have the green dot at one time on the field. So if Tremaine were to go out, somebody else can do it. I think there's a, like maybe let's say A.J. Klein could do it, but he can't have it at the same time, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that's how they do it. It's for both offense and defense. People talk about the quarterbacks, but the middle linebacker, whoever's calling the defense, also has that.
Okay. Thanks, Sal.
Yeah, no problem. I love educating people, if that's the case. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Stay on the line if you're there. Just put the phone down. Hold off. I promise I'll get back to you. We got a lot of time to take your calls. 1 hour left in the Extra Point Show on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.